I'd like to thank the Lord again this morning for his blessings and his answers to prayer, and especially that he's giving me a touch, giving me fresh courage. And I just thank the Lord for every time that he intervenes in my behalf. Well, this afternoon, we feel like that the Lord has given us a thought for the little message this afternoon, and I would like to say once again that I feel like I'm preaching to myself. A few Sundays ago, we had a message that was entitled Love in Adversity. And in that message, it included the life trials and afflictions of Job, and a scripture was quoted in the end that ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. I think I said it then, and I want to say it again, that I'm very thankful for the book of Job, and I'm thankful that we can all say that we have seen the end of the Lord. And since that message, there was another message entitled God's Love in Silence. And then we had a third message of None of These Things Move Me. And today, the title of our little message is going to be Bearing Long with Patience. Patience is a very difficult topic to present. And I got online to the Church of God preaching and found that there were just a few messages under that topic. And I know Brother Dan preached a message recently of I Waited Patiently. And there's possibly one good reason this subject is not addressed as often. Maybe most of us might feel that we are not a perfect example. There have been those that have also said, oh, I don't want to pray for patience because that would only bring me a trial or a test. But the scripture says, ye have need of patience. And I want to proclaim that I do have need of patience myself. So by the help of the Lord, we want to consider patience and what the word will open up. First of all, a most familiar scripture that may come to your mind would be in Luke 21 and 19. And it says, in your patience possess ye your souls. That I'm sure that has been quoted and read and preached on with no doubt good admonition and good instructions, but in this particular chapter there in Luke, it is speaking of the second coming of Christ and the end of time. And I think it's important, and I believe that just a little short review of the purpose of that particular verse, we're going to insert it, but it's not necessarily our burden of this little message this afternoon. So the scripture that says about our patience as we look for the end of time, I believe it's a good thing to remind us of the great day of the Lord. And Brother Michael Smith also brought a message at Monarch of time running out. And so it's not a bad thing for us to be reminded from time to time. And the scriptures even speaks of us being patient. In James 5 and 8, it says, be ye patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And in verse 7, just above that one, was be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. So patience has a place in our looking for the coming of the Lord and waiting. And patience in its several definitions can be given, but it's perseverance and long endurance. That would describe patience. Bearing long is another description of patience. Another one is grace that enables us to bear afflictions or calamities with submission to God's will. And the last one I want to give is the capacity to accept or tolerate long delay. And I believe that we have all understood from past experiences, past events in our life, past times that we did have afflictions and trials and calamities and whatever else might not get an answer real soon. We've all experienced those times of waiting on the Lord. So I want to say that we need patience as we see the day approaching. And how does the scripture also tell us to wait patiently for the approaching day? It's with endurance and waiting and watching and praying. And then the five wise that they kept the oil in their lamps, we need to keep the oil in our lamps. And so it's simply in patiently waiting for the coming of the Lord, we will keep our soul. So that's a few thoughts on that particular passage. And if you studied that one out in Luke, Jesus said that just before the destruction of Jerusalem. It was also in the midst of talking of his second return. So I'm going to give a few scriptures on what I'm going to call everyday instruction on patience. First one is Hebrews 12 and 2. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 6 and 12. Be followers of them that through faith and patience inherit the promises. Romans 12 and 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And 2 Corinthians 6 and 4, in all things approving ourselves, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, and in distresses. You had any distresses this week? Well, no doubt your patience was tested. The last one is James 1, verses 3 and 4, parts of those verses. The trying of your faith worketh patience. And then it says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. When we speak of perfect, a perfect work, most people will say, well, nobody is perfect. And yet the Lord's calling us to a place of being perfected. I believe that was one of our messages recently, of the Lord perfecting us. Everyday patience. Do we have to have patience every day? Well, one of the fruits of the Spirit is what? Patience. When we receive the Spirit into our life, a work begins. And what does that work? What is it trying to do? It is beginning to temper us, to shape us and mold us and fashion us. And it is beginning a work to create a vessel that will honor God. I speak that verse to the Lord often. I tell him I want to be a vessel unto his honor, because the word of the Lord says that he that honoreth me, I will honor. And isn't it a blessed thing to receive honor of the Lord? Him honoring us, honoring our faith, honoring our trust. When he honors our prayers, isn't that a blessed thing? But he's looking for us to also honor him. He's looking for us to be created in his image. And when we are impatient, we are not demonstrating or manifesting the image of Christ. But when we are demonstrating the grace of patience, then we are demonstrating that light that he is desiring to be in each one of us as we walk through this world. And he says, walk in the light. Well, we could change that. We like to sometimes interlace these scriptures and to make emphasis, but walk in patience. Walk in the light as you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. And I always think of, when I think of light, darkness, and I think of how that he's calling for us to be salt of the earth, and he's calling for us to be light as a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. And also I think of the little song that we don't put a light under a bushel. Well, we don't want to claim to have patience and not demonstrate it in the way that God's grace can help us be that light that he's calling for in the world. Each one of us needs this work. And before we can consider this subject, I want to say this from experience, and I'm sure that you may can say from your experience, that patience will not be gained without a fight and or without a battle. And the battle is always within. And it is right for you to fight the battle within and not fight it on the external, demonstrating carnal ways of carnal thoughts. Or if you're battling thoughts and problems of fighting against your flesh in not being patient or in gaining a patient place, it's right for you to battle it within. And when I say battling it within, I mean that's you finding your place in the closet with the Lord and pouring your heart out and making your confessions of how you feel or how you don't feel, and gaining that place. And then when you come out of your closet, like the disciples, they said they took note that they had been with Jesus. And so the patience that will be demonstrated in our life will be a result of spending a little bit of time and making that contact with the Spirit of God and asking for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because that's part of the fruit of it. And it will be demonstrated in the external part of our life. So when there is a battle fought within, the victory will be demonstrated without. Job 22 and 30, it says that he delivered the island of the innocent by the pureness of thine hands. And I chose that scripture because I want to say this about each one of us. None of us are an island. We don't live on an island. We are not a one person in this world, but we are one of many. And none of us are going to be surrounded and protected and not hindered or vexed by any of the problems that happen in life or what other people do or say about us. Or we're just not on an island, and it will pay us to recognize that I am in a world. I am surrounded by other human beings of the earth. I am surrounded not only by my fellow man as I go out into the business world, but I am encompassed with my family members. That's the closest human proximity that will be in each of our lives, day in, day out, a month, years. It will be my relationship with my family. And oh, how good, and well, the scripture says how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I'm going to say this, how good it is, how pleasant it is when we dwell together with patience with one another. We also have the co-workers and friends and neighbors, and it comes right down to the congregation when we come to meet together and sit together in heavenly places, and we have our personalities, and we may have be a little bit of a trial to somebody, or we may rub somebody wrong or something like that. That's common nature. That just happens in daily life and in contact with our fellow man and our brothers and our sisters in the congregation. And yet we can, I'm going to say this, we will be tested and tried in our patience. We won't be able to even identify every frustrating thing that will come and affect you or me and be a test and a trial to our patients. But what about just daily things that happen that become a nuisance? It can be from humans. It can just be from any other source, and it will test us and try our patience. On the other hand, what if it's a great misfortune? Would that test your patience? Absolutely. A great misfortune, a disaster that comes into your life or your family, or big changes can test the patience of each member. One of the things that was said to us when our daughter was taken, we were building a new house at the time, or had started on it. It was not past the foundation yet, but we were in the process of building a house. And Lauren was in the process of changing positions within the post office. And it was said that the three major events in a family that could absolutely create divorce or separation were the three things we were going through at the time. It's a difficult thing to move, to build another house. It's stressful. Anytime, any of you that have ever been in the process of change in your family, you need to be on your guard, because you will be tested and tried with your patience in ways that you don't maybe look for or expect even right now. But at that time, losing a child was a great test to your faith, to patience. Lauren changing positions within the post office was also considered a high stress situation that created a test in a family and in the patients that is presented. So any of these kind of things can be daily routine happenings, events, affliction. If affliction comes upon a member of a family and requires a lot of care for others, there is a great test of patience, not only in the family, not only in the person that is afflicted, not only in the people that are showing the care and giving the care. It takes patience, and the patience that is named in the fruit of the Spirit is what God is wanting to produce in each one under each of these conditions that in just normal daily trials of life itself. And then I'm going to say even disappointments can create a taxing and a proving of your patience, and how long that might last, how long that event might last, or heartaches in your life. Or I'm going to say this just from experience, also just sudden changing events. It can be a real test to your patience and your endurance. Let's bring it on down to some of our daily life. Many of you drive and commute to work a lot down I-35. And when you come into traffic conditions, slowed down, and you're in a real hurry, does that test your patience in driving? And then there's other impatient drivers that you see them making sudden decisions that could be very dangerous. That probably tests our patience also. Possibly the fellow worker that you work with every day, and they have characteristics and mannerisms, and it just sort of rubs on you and tries your patience. I'm going to say that God is calling for you and me to be very attentive to ourselves. Don't be attentive to the one that is creating the rubbing or the trial, but look to yourselves. I'm going to say it's very important for us to pray for the proper attitude in all of these places also, whether in all of our trials, whether they're petty. Do we have petty trials? Yes, we do. We have things that are just don't mean a thing, and yet they can become like a mountain. We sometimes call it a mountain that was a molehill, or vice versa. And if it's a profound trial, that's one thing. But if it's just everyday petty things, let us run to the Lord. Let us be attentive to myself and look to the Lord. Give me grace, Father, that I can demonstrate the patience that you want me to manifest in, to glorify you. So I'm going to consider patience now that is God-directed. Do we have to have patience with God? And if so, why? I don't have to be patient with God. He has to be patient with me. Yes, God is very patient with you and me, and he bears long with us. That's patience. He is long suffering. That's patience. He is merciful, and his compassions are new every morning. That's patience. He has a fresh supply of patience for you and for me and for all of mankind every morning. So when we think of God, we say, well, God is perfect. Why would you have to be patient with somebody that was always perfect? Or we say, God is righteous in all of his ways. Why would I need patience with God if he is righteous in all of his ways? God is light. In him is no darkness. And the scripture says he changes not. Why would I need to be patient with God? Another scripture that came to my mind was, all good things are from him. That may not be quoted exactly that, but it means that. So everything that God has, intentions, his purpose, his desires, is good and intended for good. And so I'm going to ask this question, is God predictable? Well, I would imagine it when, as I said that, you probably said, well, yes, God is predictable. Why would you say God was predictable? Well, we have answers for that. The word of God is eternally set. The word of God does not change. The power, his power is ever the same. Why do I say that? Because it says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And another one that would come to my mind that would say, well, yes, God's predictable. Well, his ways are not my ways, and his thoughts are not my thoughts. So I still ask the question, is God predictable? I'm going to ask this question before we answer that one. Does God allow our faith to be tested? That's a simple answer, isn't it? Yes, he allows us to be tested in our faith without a doubt. The Bible is full of the people of God who have been tested and have tried to the limit. And we wouldn't take time, but it's a challenge to each one of you to make a list and make a list of those people that were tried and tested and had to have patience with God in what event came to them in their life. Did Joseph have the dream and go right down into Egypt and he suddenly became on the throne? No, that didn't happen that way. It took years. It took heartache and trouble. And we've probably heard a lot about Joseph. But I want to tell you something. He had to have patience with God and with the fact that he had given him a dream and the fulfillment of that dream and the length of time that it took to fulfill that dream. So now I'm going to isolate my statement of predictable, of being predictable. God's will is not always predictable, or his purpose of his will is not always understood. So that's what makes it that we cannot just predict. We can stand on a promise. We can claim a promise. We can plead the promises. We can pray the same prayer that's been effective maybe at another time and pray it again and again and continue to hold on. But let me tell you what we have to have, why we have to have patience with God. It requires trust and faith. It goes back to the very fundamental things that God has said unto each one of us. Trust in God with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall do what? He'll direct your path. And that path is ongoing. It sometimes develops through the years, through many trials and tests. I've said this before. You've heard it. You've read it. But the scripture speaks of the children of Israel. They were going from strength to strength. And what that meant, that they were going from battle to battle. It's been said that your experiences of battling in the Christian way is a varied path. Some will be high on the mountain, some low in the valley. And some you'll be walking through darkness that you don't know where to set your foot the next time. And this all comes under some of these past messages. That's why I mentioned them before we get into this, because this is included in all of those other messages. When God is silent, when we can't hear his voice and we cannot feel his presence, that's when we have to exercise patient endurance and waiting on the Lord. So if you can, I would suggest that you take time and study some of the cases out in the Bible and learn from them, because before you end your life, you're going to need some of that kind of patience with God. So God's will is unpredictable and his purpose is not always understood, but having patience with God is going to take exercising faith and exercising trust. And then I'm going to add exercising much waiting. Now I'm going to ask you this question. God, is God a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God? Well, you say, well, that's a simple question. Does God answer prayer? Well, I think that we all have testified, I'm going to say weekly, if not daily, that God has heard prayer and he has honored prayer and he's answered our prayers. He's given us our petitions. So yes, we're going to say God is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. But sometimes his answer will be yes. And he'll grant that petition. And then other times he simply says, no, this is not what I want for you. He has a promise that everything would work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those that are called according to his purpose. So in his purpose in my life and in your life, we may make prayers that the answer will be no, but it is an answer. And then sometimes God will say, wait. And that is a hard one, to wait for an answer. I have a song. I want to read some of the verses to you. Actually, Lauren found this song, and I think that maybe he had given it at prayer meeting at some time. But the title of this song is Unanswered Yet. And I feel like that it fits right here this afternoon. And it says, unanswered yet, the prayer your lips have pleaded in agony of heart those many years. Does faith begin to fail? Is hope departing? And think you all in vain those falling tears? Say not the Father hath not heard your prayer. You shall have your desire. You shall have your desire. Sometime, somewhere, you shall have your desire. Sometime, somewhere. That's a song that speaks of patiently waiting on the Lord, waiting for the answer to come. When it doesn't come readily, you know, we're all a very spoiled people. We've been in a very spoiled society all of our lives. Most of us that are in our 70s have lived very comfortable lives. Now, maybe we didn't have the conveniences when we were young, but we came to the place that we knew all of the conveniences, all of the inventions that made life a little bit easier. And I'm not going to take the time to name out those conveniences, but one convenience that so many of us are accustomed to is a microwave. How quickly we can prepare something, and it doesn't take hours to prepare in an old wood burning stove and sweating and hot over that stove, and finally the meal is ready, and it's just, we're just very spoiled, and we like our answers to come quickly. It's very trying to us to have to continue on. I know you know about the unjust judge and the widow woman, and that's in the Word of God to teach us. Of late, I've used that in my prayer. I'm being tested in my patiently waiting. But we know the account that he would not avenge her, and then because of her continually asking and pursuing him, he said it wearied him, and so he gave her her request. I believe that God wants us to be persistent and consistent. In the story of Harriet Tubman, when she was a little girl, and oh, she was so convicted about slavery being wrong. And as a little girl, she said, I'm going to pray until God delivers us. And the overseer said to her, Do you think God would hear a little slave girl's prayer? And you know what she said? She said, he heard the cries of the slaves of Egypt. And she did. The other slaves would hear her crying unto the Lord in her work in the field. And sometimes she would do it this way. Oh, Lord, here's Harriet again. And say about the same prayer, begging for deliverance. You know, I believe the Lord, we could do that too. We could go before the Lord when we have a long, outstanding prayer or request or trial or test or affliction. And we come to him and we say, Lord, it's me again. And I'm crying unto you for the same thing. Unless the Lord has said no specifically, we have a right to continue to beg him for the deliverance or for the healing or for whatever he says in his word that he will do. But there will be times that our patience will have to endure to the end before we get an answer. And that's in this song. And I may read one more verse of this song. Unanswered yet, though when you first presented this one petition at your father's throne, it seemed you could not wait the time of asking, so urgent was your heart to make it known. Though years have passed since then, do not despair. The Lord will answer you. The Lord will answer you sometime, somewhere. The Lord will answer you sometime, somewhere. So I want to go over now again what patience is in closing. And it's perseverance. It's going to take much perseverance for each one of us to the end of our life. It's going to take some long endurance. We're going to have to bear long. We're going to have to reach out for the grace that enables us to bear the afflictions or calamities and to do it with submission to God's will. That's the key. And that's very hard to do when your patience is being tried and you don't understand God's purpose and his will for why he's allowing you to go through this particular place. And then the last one is the capacity to accept or tolerate long delay. I have three scriptures in closing. Psalm 62 and 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Hebrews 10:36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. There's many promises that are given to the people of God. We want it to be like a microwave. We want to go and punch in this promise. Lord, you said this. Your word says you can do this. And it doesn't happen immediately. That's when you have to be patient and wait on the Lord and bear long and not give up and claim the promise. The promise has to come. One of the songs that has sustained me through this was, God hath made a promise that he will keep. So promises do not change, but the waiting for them will be a test and a trial to your patience. Lamentations 3:25, The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. That's our little message this afternoon. And we trust that there's much more that could be said about patience. And I don't want you to think I am an authority on it. I am saying once again, I'm preaching to myself. Everything on here, everything that has been said, I'm going to have to eat it. It's got to be that little book that he said to the prophet, take and eat. It'll be sweet in your mouth or in your tongue, but it'll be bitter in your belly. And this kind of a subject, you may be tested and tried and proven yourself, but you're going to have patience with God when you have to wait for an answer to come. I desire your prayers that the Lord will help me to endure to the end and be saved, and to be patient in my daily experiences, as well as in the looking forward to the answer when it will come. And I desire you to pray that the Lord will help me to have the grace to bear what he has for me to bear. Amen.